Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, DFW, and thank you for being a Tolo and turning it on, leaving it on every single day. On the line right now is Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Ryan McDonough. Insider calls brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Ryan, how's it going today, man?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys.
For the credentials of things, I want people to understand. You were the former general manager of the Phoenix Suns. Are you okay if we call you DFW's basketball GM?
Well, they have a pretty good one in Donnie Nelson, but I'd be happy to assist Donnie and Mark Cuban and to lend my perspective on all things Maverick and around the entire NBA.
Awesome. So I guess my first question is, do you think that the NBA in the next 24 hours can put together a trade package that features more than 12 players so we can top what just happened overnight?
Well, for the listeners who don't know, that is the biggest deal in the NBA as far as players and picks changing hands since 2000 when Patrick Ewing went to Seattle, which seems like a long time ago now. And, frankly, guys, I was a little surprised that the deal came together. I understand why it did come together, but think of how many different people and different parties have to be satisfied with the four teams involved. You're talking about four different ownership groups, four different front offices, coaching staffs, and then all the players involved as well as far as the salaries matching and teams wanting the players and those players' medical records being exchanged. So it was a big deal with a lot of moving parts. I think the reason you saw it get done last night is because I don't think those teams are done dealing. I think the four teams involved will at least continue to explore trades over the next 24 plus hours, but that was certainly a blockbuster that we had last night, and I think is a good way to kick off the sprint to the finish line here in trade season, which happens at tomorrow at 3:00 Eastern time.
When a trade like that happens, is it one like centerpiece GM or owner kind of making all these phone calls, or do you think it's like one and two and then one and two and they're like, hey, we know somebody in on this deal. Do y'all want to get together on this?
I think it starts with a two-team deal, and then the two teams realize that the deal's not going to get done directly. And so then you figure out, okay, is there a third team we can bring in on this that, has pieces that may make sense for both of us? Maybe a pick goes here, a player goes there. And then in this case, I think it, started as two teams, expanded to three, and then expanded to four. So I think that's the way the deal got done. Obviously, for any deal to get done, especially before the trade deadline, a few days prior to the deadline, it has to make sense for everybody involved. And that's why I think, it was out there that Minnesota was going to be aggressive. They're looking to reset it. They've lost a bunch of games in a row, and they're second to last in the Western Conference right now. So they want to rebuild on the fly around Karl Anthony Towns. And that, Houston was, I think, okay with how the season started, but they have championship aspirations. They didn't feel like they're a championship contending team as constituted. So I think those were the two main drivers of it. Then Atlanta was, looking for a center. Clint Capella made a lot of sense to be a lob threat and rim protector behind Trae Young. And then my guess is Denver was the final piece. The Nuggets were the team of the four that I don't think really had to do anything. But I think from the Nuggets' perspective, there were future payroll concerns about, their payroll skyrocketing next offseason with Juancho Hernangómez and Malik Beasley hitting free agency. So that's kind of an overview of the trade and how I think it happened. But it's pretty unique, as you guys know, and there's a reason that a deal that big hasn't happened in two decades.
Is this, for Minnesota particularly, the next step? Because you've heard a lot of buzz about this, and then I heard yesterday it had kind of fallen apart. Are they still making their run at D'Angelo Russell, and is that what the draft capital is kind of needed for them?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I think they are still trying to acquire D'Angelo Russell. The million-dollar question I have there is, what is Golden State's appetite to take on Andrew Wiggins' contract? The contracts are virtually identical, but Wiggins is a polarizing player in terms of the value. You know, is he worth $30 million a year for the next 4 years? I think teams around the league have a lot of questions about that, which is why Golden State would not do the deal straight up, Russell for Wiggins. Golden State wants, it seems like, a couple first-round picks, starting with Minnesota's first-round pick. So my guess, guys, is that D'Angelo Russell is not in a Warriors uniform come opening night next year. Now, does the deal happen in the next 24-plus hours, or is it something that I think may make more sense for both teams? Does the deal happen in May or June after the lottery? Because I understand why Golden State wants Minnesota's first-round pick. It's currently slotted as fifth in the lottery, but I also understand why the Timberwolves would be very hesitant to give up that pick, because keep in mind, with the new flatter lottery odds, the fifth pick could become the number one pick, and then you know, if Minnesota gave that up and other things for D'Angelo Russell, I think that's something that the Timberwolves would regret down the line.
We're talking with Ryan McDonough right here on 105 Through the Fan. I wanted to take a step back to Andrew Wiggins and get some more thoughts from you on him and like the trajectory of his career. You talked about how polarizing he is. He's a guy who came into the league, and I think a lot of people said, this is a kid who could be a top 15 player in the league, and I know effort has always kind of been questioned around him. Like, what has led to this point where he seems not disposable, but kind of an afterthought in certain extent?
Yeah, the effort question, the motor, I think, is the biggest question with Andrew Wiggins. Earlier this year, the Timberwolves got off to a great start. They were 10-8 and looked like one of the surprise teams in the Western Conference, and they've really cratered since then, guys. They've lost 12 games in a row. Some of that is due to the injury to Karl-Anthony Towns and also a lack of a point guard, but some of it's, you know, they haven't defended very well, and after a pretty good start to the year where Wiggins was looking like the player that most people thought he would be coming out of Kansas, that he hasn't looked very good. He hasn't had much of an impact, and that's the challenge, and that's why, you know, I describe Wiggins as a tease up to this point in his career. Some nights you watch him and he scores 30 points and you see the athleticism and say, geez, this guy could be an all-star. And then other games, he plays 25 or 30 minutes and you have to check your roster and check the box score to see if he played and what he did. He doesn't really have an impact some nights where he, you know, he kind of blends in on the court. So, you know, it's a gamble for Golden State. I don't think they would be doing that deal to acquire Andrew Wiggins. I think the main reason they'd want to do that deal is to get another high lottery pick to go alongside their own, which is currently slotted one in the lottery. And then my guess is if they do that deal either now or in the summertime, that they would use those chips to try to upgrade their team and rebuild it right back to a championship level next year when they get Steph Curry and Klay Thompson healthy alongside Draymond Green.
Got Radio.com NBA insider Ryan McDonough on with us right now, crushing the NBA talk in your ear holes right now. And the let's go ahead and turn our focus then to the Mavericks, Kevin. This team is what I think we believe around here, a legit playoff team that might be a piece away. But do you want to disrupt any of the current chemistry that they have in that locker room right now?
That's a great question. I mean, they're one of the surprise teams of the year for me. Just, you know, I feel like they're way ahead of schedule, given how much Luka Doncic has improved. He had a phenomenal rookie year and is now looking like an MVP candidate. Kristaps Porzingis, I know he got off to a relatively slow start, you know, at least relative to expectations, but has really come on lately, and what he's done with Luka out the past couple games has been very impressive. So, you know, Donnie Nelson and Mark Cuban and the group in the front office in Dallas, they're in a good spot. They're in no hurry because their two best players are in their early 20s, so they have time, guys. One deal I would keep an eye on with them is, you know, I know Memphis wants a first-round pick for Andre Iguodala, but if Memphis can't get a first-round pick for Iguodala, keep in mind that Dallas has Courtney Lee, who's not playing, is out of the rotation, and they also have a second-round pick from Golden State, which is the 31st pick in the draft today, which obviously is the next best thing to a first-round pick. So I'd be interested to see if Dallas were willing to put that pick in play. I believe the deal works straight up with just Lee and the second-round pick from Golden State going to Memphis, and certainly I think Iguodala would help Dallas in terms of their wing depth and talent. They have the top-rated offense in the league, but defensively they're slightly below average, so I think Iguodala would be a big upgrade as a wing defender, and you know I think he'd really help the Mavericks.
Well, he said that he wants to play for a contender. Do you think that he's looking at the Grizzlies and then looking at the Mavs and saying, okay, that's the kind of team that I'm willing to play for, or is he looking at other teams like the Lakers and saying, I want to end up
Clippers,
there?
Clippers, yeah.
Yeah, my guess, guys, is that if he gets bought out, well, it's part guess, it's part intel, is that he would end up with one of the two teams in L.A., I think with the Lakers being slightly ahead of the Clippers, just due to the fact that the Clippers have two of the best wings in the league, and Kawhi Leonard and Paul George already on their roster. So I think there's a bigger role with for Andre with the Lakers. Now, that being said, I think if Andre gets traded to the Mavericks, who, as you guys know, are sixth in the Western Conference, but you know, only a few games out of second in the West, and certainly with Iguodala, I think they're a contender to at least get to the Western Conference Finals. I think he'd be okay with that. So, you know, what players and their agents do, it's not a glamorous part of the NBA sometimes, is they'll try to leverage and threat and say, look, you know, we won't play unless we get to this destination or these two destinations. And, you know, with Iguodala, I think, you know, he does have a little bit of leverage right now as far as if he really were willing to retire, if he didn't get traded to the team of his choice. But I don't think that's the Dallas Mavericks. I think he'd prefer to go to one of the teams in L.A., but I think if he ended up in a Mavericks uniform with what they have going with Luka Doncic and led by Rick Carlisle, and a team that has a chance to make a run in the Western Conference playoffs, I think he'd be good with that, and I think he'd play a big role for the Mavericks.
Can you talk us through a little bit more what about the Mavericks game or personnel could translate very well to the playoffs? Because I'm right there with you in terms of hopefully them making a run through the West or at least making some noise. What is it about this team or its personnel that you think could translate into the playoffs?
Well, their offense is elite. I mean, it's number one in the league. It's historically good, and it's really a credit to Rick Carlisle and more than anybody, Luka Doncic, as far as what they're doing offensively. Because, you know, looking at the roster, guys, I wouldn't say it's an overly gifted roster as far as, you know, elite offensive players. Obviously, they have one in Luka, who's doing historic things at his age, and second in Porzingis, who's, you know, starting to come on. But yeah, I think the system's really good. They've done a great job surrounding Luka with shooters. You know, they added Willie Cauley-Stein after the injury to Dwight Powell to get a rim-running five. I wouldn't be completely surprised if they added another rim-running five just to give, you know, give Luka another lob threat at the rim if that player is available over the next 24-plus hours. So, you know, I really like what I think they're good enough offensively. Obviously, Luka's going to have to continue to do a lot in the playoffs, and defense is going to be keyed up to stop him in the playoffs. So I think, you know, is there a rim-running five who, you know, who can play alongside Cauley-Stein, or you can stagger with Cauley-Stein, or is there an elite wing defender like Iguodala that, you know, if you're the best team in the league offensively, obviously that's good enough. Can you get to above average defensively, and then you have a real chance to make a run in the Western Conference playoffs and maybe get to the Western Conference Finals, which would be a great step given the ages of Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis as your two best players.
And I don't know what your dealings with Donnie Nelson have been in the past, having, you know, but that phone rings and Donnie Nelson is on the other end of the phone. Is he trying to Jedi mind trick people into making trades? Because he seems to be able to pull some crazy things off sometimes.
Well, he's made one of the best trades in the NBA in the past few years by getting Kristaps Porzingis. And, you know, one of the things that I think was looked at as trade filler or salary throw-in to make the money work a year ago was Tim Hardaway Jr. Yeah. You know, that was part of the reason that the Knicks part Hardaway Jr. in the deal was, you know, to get off of him and to make, you know, run at big free agents. And obviously that was a disaster for the Knicks. And Hardaway's played very well for Dallas. He's fit right in. And I think his shooting and floor spacing in that system is really, you know, really been what Rick Carlisle and Luka Doncic needed. So Donnie's one of the best in the business. He's done it for a long time. He's won a championship. As you guys know, over the past 20 or so years, the Mavericks are among the best teams in the league as far as their track record of success. So I think he's in a good spot. He'll continue to be aggressive, but again, they don't need to do anything. The core of their team is already in place, and I think the challenge over the next couple of years will be, can they find that third star? They have two already in Luka, who's going to be an MVP candidate, in my opinion, and Porzingis, who will be an all-star when he's healthy. Can they find a third guy to go alongside those two? Because if they get a third guy, then I think they're set up as well as any team in the league, maybe better than any team in the league for the next 5 or 10 years.
But what I really want to know is, what's the best deal you ever got over on somebody?
Well, I wasn't the GM at the time. I don't know if it was got over on somebody, but the one that worked out the best for us was in Boston when I worked alongside Danny Ainge when we brought in Kevin Garnett and, you know, alongside Ray Allen in the summer of 2007. That was the best group that I was a part of. The year before, we won 24 games and finished with the second worst record in the league, and then we brought in Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen to go alongside Paul Pierce and Rajon Rondo and others and won 66 games in the NBA title. So it's funny. I thought we were the same guys, and we were, you know, just as as smart the year before, but we certainly looked at a lot smarter with three Hall of Famers and another All-Star on the floor that next season in 2008.
And you'd look even smarter if you could beat Rondo at Connect Four.
That guy's a savant, man. He's a, we bring him to events with kids, you know, to try to do fundraisers and fun things with school kids, and Rondo would just kick their asses. Like, he was relentless, you know, in Connect Four and other board games.
I just wish that competitive fire would have translated here, Ryan. I just really wish it would have.
Thanks a lot, Ryan.
No, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
That is DFW's basketball GM right there, aside from Donnie Nelson, of course. But that was Radio.
He said he would help.
Yeah, Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Ryan McDonough. Insider calls brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. You can also hear Ryan on Scal and Pals, available on Radio.com, wherever you find your podcast. Great basketball talk with everything you need to hear on the NBA trade deadline. From Ryan, Brian Scalabrine, our pal Kendrick Perkins, and more. Just search Scal wherever you find your podcasts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.